Hello and welcome to Techlandia. How are you doing today? I am iPad Sammy here in the great state of Oregon. We like to call this place Portland. Portlandia is what we like to call it, Scott Bedley.
The Emerald City, right, John?
The Emerald City, to continue a bit from Grumpy Old Teachers. We like to call it the Emerald City because we get confused with, you might confuse us with Seattle, the Emerald City.
Well, Seattle stole your soccer team, so.
Right, we're the second city in the two cities between Seattle and Portland. The Techlandia is the show. And down in Orange County, California, where it is much hotter and clearer and probably there's fires all around, we have the one, the only...
Scott Bedley.
All right, Scott, we're trying some sound effects. Here's one that we don't know if you can hear, but are you ready? It's SpongeBob, who I don't like at all, and I don't let my kids watch SpongeBob. Okay. So anyway, we're going to give you some apps. We're going to give you some good things that happened this week in our world of teaching, of elementary teaching, by the way. But we like to think of ourselves as multifaceted. Scott, at one point, I believe, taught high school, correct?
I did, John.
Middle school?
Well, I taught at a K-8, and so I worked with middle school students teaching like after school classes and things like that. So not officially, but officially.
Nice. I like that. So I was a middle school teacher last year. I really, really enjoyed it. Then I went back to elementary school. Okay, so read into that what you will. So we're going to give you some, I'm not going to give you an app this week. Well, I'm going to give you an app, but I'm going to give you a website first. And my website this week, and I'm not trying to be completely coding heavy. I will try to diversify. It's just what's been on my mind because it was Hour of Code Week last week, was I really started with the Microbit, Scott. After we did Scratch, we went to the Microbit, and I went to Microsoft Make Code Arcade, which is different than using the Microbit because it's kind of like Microsoft's built-in thing that's kind of like Scratch, right? Where you can make some different arcade games. They have a kind of a little handheld Game Boy simulator where you can see what your game does, which I think is handy for some students. In Scratch, you kind of have to start and stop it, right? You have to hit the green flag or the red, you know, red stop sign or whatever. So I went, and the thing is, you think these things are going to be really hard and you can't get through them, but their tutorials are so perfect. And so same with Scratch tutorials too, but their tutorials are so perfect. You really, really don't have to, you just kind of have to go in there. I did the first Make Code Arcade one, very easy. You're trying to make a, just like kind of a Space Invaders type game. And it looks like a little Game Boy simulator. And there's, you can step-by-step it along the way. So you can add the background first, and then you can go and add the shooting component and the moving component. It's really cool. And so I really think that I might continue, Scott Bedley. Of course, it's Sunday night here, so what do I have planned for this week? But I really think I might continue and do some, with some Hour of Code stuff for next week, the last week, and maybe do some Microsoft Make Code Arcade. Have you used it before?
John, I have not used that before. I know about it just because, you know, everybody knows I only like Microsoft products.
That's right. I only
use Microsoft. Only, except for my example that I'm going to give coming up here in a second. But no, I haven't, John. And what you're talking about excites me because I always tell the kids Hour of Code or Week of Code, whatever you want to call it, is the kickoff for us integrating that more and more throughout the rest of the school year.
I don't really know if I want to keep, I think I am going to keep going with it and just show that again and maybe put that on the calendar this week just for some extra stuff. I think I was going to try and do extra stuff at our online school, like just kind of like 20% Genius Hour time, like every other week, but I think it's kind of a special week. It's the last week before winter break. Today marks the 9th month that I haven't been in person with students. It's been 9 months, March 13th. Was the last day I was in person with students. If you would have told me I would not be in person with students for the rest of 2020, I would have probably not even close to believed you.
I would have thought you retired, John.
Yeah, I'm right. I would have thought I quit. And I just, right, the middle school got to me.
I mean, these last 5 years of 2020 have been rough.
Yeah, it's been a long last 5 years / 9 months. So anyway, I really like Make Code Arcade. Like I said, I've been tweeting some of these things that we've been sharing from the new podcast out on my Twitter, which is just John Samuelson, J-O-N. So anyway, that's what I've got for you. I like Make Code Arcade. I had another one I was going to share, but I think I want Scott to go because I think that he's got something really cool to share.
John, I have a question for you. Is Make Code, after you know, kind of run through with the kids, is it something they could continue on their own? Because I know some of the tools that are out there, you can kind of just keep going. The kids just get excited and they keep going.
It is. It's like, it's a lot. So I really like the Microbit site for Make Code. And it's a lot like that too. It's like, once you kind of do some of the tutorials and get it down and learn how the blocks function and like where the little like buttons are where you can select different things, it's you can just freestyle on that if you want to, which I think is awesome. So that's where the learning happens. So
yeah, and that's what I like to find tools that excite the kids so they keep using them even when it's not part of what we're learning or an assignment or anything like that. And that's kind of what my app or website of the show is.
Right. We don't know really what we're calling it yet, but we you know, it's your app. It's actually both an app and a website, right?
Yeah. So, we've been using it a lot more heavily this year for sure than in the past. And I think they've made some good additions to it too recently. John, I'll let you talk about that. But Jamboard has been a fantastic tool for me to do group projects. And I know a lot of online teachers are like, how do I do group projects? I don't know how the kids can collaborate together. A Padlet, yeah, I guess, like shared doc, yeah, sure, slides, yeah. But Jamboard, for whatever reason, and if you're not familiar with Jamboard, it's basically like a shared digital whiteboard that you can add additional whiteboards to. And then it has like laser pointers and the kids can organize it. So I have like teams of kids doing Genius Hour projects and they're organizing who's doing which part of the project. And so they're using this in the same way, like maybe some Googlers would use, at the office to organize their workflow, to collaborate with each other, to come up with and brainstorm ideas on it. As well as, John, I use this all the time for math.
Yes, I use it for math.
Yeah. But what I did find out through failure is that the first time I let the kids use it, I just need to let them play with it. Because that laser pointer is like, yeah, it just became crazy laser pointerville. So,
it's funny because when I do use the laser pointer a lot, and I was using it just on Friday. And the thing is, it's like, if you are going through math like that, and it's cool because then you don't have to share your, like, we do our stuff on Zoom. You don't have to share your screen then. You can just open the Jamboard, give them the link, and then you're both in there. So I'm like trying to go, you multiply this over here times this over here. And I just kind of like wave the cursor back and forth on the thing. And it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know? No, and I love the fact that I could put graph paper in there. Mm-hmm. Because for my students to keep place value in the right spot, is like vital.
Yeah, it's cool. And I saw everybody going crazy on the Twitters, on the educational Twitters or what's left of the educational Twitters that, you can put in your own backgrounds now. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, Google Jamboard, but it will add it to like your drive, right? I actually just use this. I'm lazy. I just use the same one all the time. So the kids are there. So sometimes I'll come back and the Jamboard is, just there. And some kids have been playing on it after I left the Zoom hangout with them. And you just clear it and it's back to normal. So I think it's really good. It's been really helpful for math for me, for teaching. It's been.
Yeah. Great. And I find it, Zoom has their own whiteboard feature in it, but as far as like being able to add things now, the laser, like, I don't know, just the ease of which you can draw in Jamboard just feels much more intuitive than in the Zoom's whiteboard.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Zoom whiteboard, but some people aren't using the Zoom, right? I know that the Marnie Samuelson of the other side of the house that teaches in a different school district, she can't use it.
Does she have the Beaverton Samuelsons?
Yeah, of the Beaverton Samuelsons, but then she's in the Tiger Tualatin teaching Samuelsons. So she's in a class all by herself out there, so it's kind of interesting. But right, so if you can't use Zoom and you don't have access to the whiteboard, Jamboard is the way to go, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so here, let's go to some good things. Let's see if this sound effect works. No, Scott can hear it. Okay. Well, it's supposed to be the sports center. I don't know. You'd like to put a transition in there at some point. I'll get some better sound effects. Okay. This is all I got. I was watching.
We're warming up to it, folks.
Yeah, we're just starting back after 3 years here. We're a little bit, you know, just like off the.
A little wobbly.
Yeah. Yeah, we're kind of like that. Sometimes we're doing stuff and we think there's a bunch of crickets and we don't know. So not to keep talking about Hour of Code. So I think my good thing this week was I had a student get really excited on Friday, and this was just brought to my attention on Friday. You never usually get good emails about things, right? You just get bad emails about things.
Especially on Fridays.
Right. Especially on a Friday. You're like, oh no, here comes a... So I didn't actually think that. I really like this parent. But so she emailed me and she just said, showed me a picture of her daughter coding. She said, you know, I won't use her name, but she really likes coding, took a picture of her, sent me the picture. And then I messaged her and I said, hey, where's your project? I'd like to see it on, and she's really skilled at technology. And it wasn't anything like earth shaking what she did. But the funny thing was she had gotten 500 views and I guess was on the front page of Scratch for a little while. And she's like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't believe that 500 people have viewed my project. I've had projects that have been up for years and like 21 people have viewed it. So for her to put something up and have 500 views is pretty good. And so anyway, but it was cool. And it was nothing that I had even showed her. I hadn't even showed the students how to publish, right? So they learned that all. And I think that's the cooler part. So not only was it not the lesson that I gave them, because I really just give them enough to get started, it was something completely different. I didn't tell them how to remix projects. It was a remixed project. She cited the person she remixed from and then went in and shared it out. And she was easily able to share it with me. And I just thought, see, that's so awesome because I didn't help with any of that stuff. And then it just makes me happy that, you know, this is what I feel like the online should be right now. Give them some stuff to learn. Hopefully they like it. And then they explore with it on their own. And if they have questions, they can always ask. But she didn't even ask questions. She just found it all out on her own, which I think is awesome. So that was my edu win for the week.
And John, you say you didn't do anything, but you actually did because you opened up a door for her to learn and she got excited about it. And that's one of the beauties in teaching when we don't just teach off the script. We look at different ways to inspire kids because they're all not going to want to go into accounting or editing.
Right.
So we need them to be artists. We need them to be coders. We need them to be mathematicians, of course, and writers, of course, and historians. And we need them to be all those different things. And that's really what school is about. It's supposed to be there to open them up to things that they may not discover on their own so they can go and develop a passion about learning it.
Yeah, I think it was good. Yeah. I wasn't really trying to pat myself on the back or anything. I was just saying,
No, you weren't at all patting yourself enough.
I really liked it. I like when that happens. That's like one of the things. I'm not very, I'm 50 years old. I'm a man. I'm not very mushy and sentimental like some other like elementary teachers. I don't think I'm the beacon of light that shines them towards. I'm just assuming that next year I'm a little bit more realistic. I'm like, next year they'll probably forget about me. And that is okay. I'm okay with that. I just want to make their 1 year really good. And I hope that they enjoy their year and find something and, you know, learn to be better people along the way too. Not just like learning all the standards and whatever. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was my win for the week. And I thought it was pretty satisfying to see, you know, her going. Maybe at some point I did share the link to her project out on my Twitter. Not to keep pushing it. You don't have to follow my Twitter. I'm not trying to push it. I'm just saying that's where I'm putting the links if you're ever interested in any of these things that we're going on and on about. We're gushing about. All right, Scott. So good thing. What you
know, I had a lot of good things this week. I'm actually going to shift off of what I think I shared with you. But a couple good things is, number one, I had a good friend come into my class and teach my kids coding. And that was awesome. They were inspired. Mm-hmm. They've been sending me messages in Canvas of, you know, with links to their projects all week because of him. His name happens to be iPad Sammy. And, and then, you know, and I had a really another cool thing. I had a former student, and I can say his name now because he's over 18. He's now a writer and a comedian, and he's starting a podcast. His name's Ben Duval. Mm-hmm. T with Tuval, not Duval, but Ben Duval. And I remember him and his sister so clearly from a long time ago, and he was in my class, and as soon, like the year after he was in my class, they moved back to the East Coast. You know, so it's like one of those kids you don't get a chance to see. And all of a sudden he emailed me this last week and said, "Hey, I see, you know, I wanted to start this podcast talking to some former teachers." That's and cool. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, really?" And he's like, "I would love to have you on." I'm like, "Ben, you know it, man. You know, he was a great kid, great sense of humor, you know, even back in fifth grade when I had him. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he's doing and get to catch up with a former student like that."
That's really cool. You're like, "Hey, I happen to do a little podcasting of my own."
I did. I said, "You know, I did."
Medley Brothers said, "You might be interested in."
He did. He said, "I listened to a couple episodes," and I'm like, "Well, that's about all everyone does is listen to a couple episodes."
I listened to a couple episodes. I think they were the episodes I was on. I'm such a bad podcast listener. I don't listen to these episodes either, except for editing them real quick. And
hey, John, if I'm not into plugging another podcast on here, but if you do listen to the Medley Brothers, go listen to the ones with John Handy's talking about distance learning, because it is really good information. If you're still just like in a funk over it, still struggling with it, you know, check that out. So
John Handy, a good Australian, correct? Or is he from New Zealand?
I believe he's a Kiwi in Aussie. Kiwi?
Yeah.
But he's teaching in Aussie in Australia.
Oh, so he's, okay, yeah. He's just, I don't know. I just think the Australians, Kiwis, they do it right. You know, I would love to visit New Zealand. If you ever hear about schools that are really awesome, it's either you hear New Zealand or Finland, right? Is that, those are like the two places that we think are like.
Oh, and you know why Finland is so good with education?
No.
Because they always finish. That was your joke. I totally.
That was one where we. I need a hi hat so bad. That's all I need is bum bum. I missed that from the Google Hangout. So anyway, but yes. So that's good. Yes, you should. When did you record that one with John Hattie about distance learning?
It was right back in like August.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning of the school.
Right when we were going back, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he did that distance learning playbook, right?
Right.
When did that get published?
It was published right around then. And then he was also coming out, and I don't even know if he came out with it yet, one for parents to help support parents. Again, he's the way he talks about what we should be doing in the classroom, having gone through like what's really a school year in distance learning, not just kind of emergency stuff in the spring. It's like, yeah, I mean, he nailed it right on, you know, six, you know, 5 months ago or whatever.
Yeah. Well, he's a legit person.
He's pretty smart.
Someday we'll get some legit people on here maybe. But here we have breaking news. John and Scott are grumpy. So here's our rant. Here's our rant for the week.
Okay, I thought you were going to say that there's a vaccine that they're releasing.
I want to tell you that when we only put in one rant, so we're not going to try and put in two rants. We don't want to be too negative. But both weeks so far, I've been putting in the rants. So it's been all me. So today's rant is brought to you by millennials. Millennials and their use of social media. Okay, so anyway, this does come from somewhere. And there are sometimes when I think that social media, I just think it's an overshare. Scott tells me I undershare a lot, but I don't know. There's some things that, you know, us Gen Xers, we prefer to just kind of, you know, go through. I think we're a little bit more mature. We can kind of look back at those people born in the 80s and go, "Oh, okay, people." So I saw this thing on the
because we're old.
No, because we're old. I saw this thing on a use of Post-it notes. All right, and I'm like, it was like this, come pick my brain because I'm going to tell you about Post-it notes and my hacks on Post-it notes, how to be more productive and be the CEO of your own thing and blah, 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 millennial stuff. So here are the steps. It was basically, if you have a Post-it note, you know, you're going to be working, Scott. So we're working online, and then I'm going to have a stack of Post-it notes next to you. Now, I don't know how this works,
but hey, John, I'm not sure. I do have
several stacks, and I don't even have the good Post-it notes, but I do have several stacks of Post-it notes around, and I do use them. So I thought, oh, okay. All right. So I'm working. I write down some stuff on my Post-it notes. So here's, that was step two. And step three, when something comes to you, when it's a thought, you write it down on the Post-it note that's around you, Scott. They're around you, okay? So then you write it down.
Not the ones that are like in the kitchen drawer?
No. You have to have them around you. And then step four is, then after you write it down, you continue working on what you're working on, and you can come back to it later and see what your thought was. That was what I thought.
I wonder if the people at 3M ever thought of that when they created Post-it notes.
Holy cow. My mind was blown. I was just like, wait a second. So I have so many Post-it notes. Right?
You mean you're supposed to write notes on a Post-it note?
So I take stuff like this and I write down my thoughts on the Post-it note, or like account numbers or whatever, or what, like my little to-do list. And then after I'm done working, I can look at it and go, oh yeah, my to-do list is right there. I mean, that's Post-it notes right
now.
Now,
is there a step four? Like when you're done with it, throw it away?
Yeah, no, it wasn't even to throw it away. I mean, it should have been throw it in the recycle bin is what it should have been. But I was just like, wow.
How about scan reader?
I've been using Post-it notes all wrong.
You could scan it with your phone with a 3M app, and then you have it saved.
I know. We could even get next level with it. But anyway, I just thought that was – I just read that, and I just laughed because I was like, wow, you just told me – you just did a blog on how to use a Post-it note. And that was like – so you could be the CEO of your – now, I mean, I've been working on this so long, I should be the CEO of some company, but – apparently, I'm just a teacher, so maybe I need to work on this a little bit more, my Post-it note efficiency. Wow. So, I don't know. But anyway, that
John,
was...
John, I think a lot of people are going to be tweeting, thank you.
I won't, you know, I should put a link to that. I should share that on Twitter.
Of course you should. How should you not?
So I just thought that was funny. So, thank you, millennials. Thank you. And that was... breaking news on how to use a Post-it note.
And I guarantee 99.99% of the millennials are like, what?
What?
So ridiculous that person posted that.
Oh my gosh. Let's go start a GoFundMe for that blog. Oh my goodness. Anyway.
Well.
There we go. Do you have any millennial rants, Scott, at all? Or no, you want to jump in on this one or
no? No, I miss my millennial friends from school. That's about the only rant I have about millennials.
I'm not saying this is all millennials.
I know you're not.
I'm just saying that I've noticed it as in general with millennials. Us Gen Xers are starting to get a little bit tired of the millennials. And they're like, oh, I'm working so hard. I'm just like, are you working hard? I don't think you're really working that hard. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, they got the trophy for it, right? That's as the old saying goes.
Yeah. So. I know some great millennials. Don't get me wrong. I know.
I know, John. I just make sure everybody knows.
But that one just was like, maybe I should find some blog posts every once in a while. They're just like that. I was like, okay. I don't know. Do we want to go into this last one? Do you have anything extra for us? Since I took both the extra thing and the rant, you could take the other extra thing and we can push mine back to next week.
No, John, I'm just wondering if I needed to get a pencil to do that note-taking thing, or if it's a pen. Did they clarify on that?
No, they did not clarify whether to use a pencil or a pen. Sometimes I use, I personally, Scott, endorse the Sharpie S-Gel pens. They're really awesome. I like those. But yes. I mean, sometimes, I have highlighters and pencils over here in a cup. I mean, they didn't say anything about like you know, how to position your cups so that you're ready to write down your thoughts as you had them.
I'm going to get stuck at that spot, picking between what I write with. So.
Oh my God. I mean, I could even color code them like so that red could be stuff that I have to do or like immediately. And then yellow are kind of, oh, you know, critical, but green are just stuff that's extra, right? Like I
can. That's just too much. Oh. You're going way too far. Yeah. You've jumped off the deep end.
I'm just done. So anyway, here's what I thought was interesting, besides the fact that I won't keep talking about Taylor Swift and that the fact that she has now released another new album, which I waited for at 9 o'clock and listened to the whole thing, Evermore. But I'll have to dive into that one a little bit more. I don't like it as much as the first one, but I'm going to give it some time, Scott. I'm going to be patient with it. I'm going to be not a millennial. I'm going to give it some more time to soak in. I'm going to be old and Gen X-y and listen to it. But here's one that I thought was interesting. When I worked, there was one year, and Scott remembers this year, I think, pretty well, when I tried to go work in ed tech as like a company, like in, with an ed tech company. I quit my job teaching, and I thought, I'm 42, I'm 43, here's my chance. Okay, it turned out miserably, except for the fact that it forced me to be unemployed and move up to Portland, where I absolutely love it and I have a great job. So it worked out in the long run. But one of the things that we did when we went to Las Vegas was we went to a South by Southwest thing that I don't think they ever had again, to be honest with you, in Las Vegas. But it was like a startup for probably millennials, right? And like there, I probably was at a booth next to the Post-it note person. But what we did was we went and listened to just like some inspiring stories. And at that point in 2013, 2012, Tony Hsieh was the founder of Zappos. Okay. And he had sold off Zappos to Amazon. He was like a billionaire, basically. He's about 46. He was 46. He is no longer with us because, and I just thought the story is kind of tragic and I'll get to that in a second, but, one of the things that he did was he really thought that you didn't need to be in Silicon Valley to kind of do a startup, like Scott's favorite show, Silicon Valley. And he tried to revitalize downtown Las Vegas, and he really sunk a lot of money into downtown. He's like, it's cheaper to come live in Vegas. There's a lot of property available. And right. Where he and I've lived in Vegas for 7 years, so... And I taught there for 7 years as well. It was the part of town that he tried to transform is really a terrible part of town, but he did it. It was super nice. He tried to get all these creatives there and he really did a lot of stuff. And then I heard over the pandemic that he had just all of a sudden up and resigned. I thought that was interesting and I didn't look into it that much. He gave a great speech when we were at this South by Southwest startup thing. And I had never really crossed my radar before, but then once I heard his story, he was really a great speaker. He talked about all the stuff he was trying to do in Vegas and he ended up getting it done. He's kind of like a doer, right? Like and I think that that's the problem that you have to, I mean, I guess if the lesson we're going to take away from this is that, I mean, the pandemic is kind of slowed us all down a little bit. And I think it was hard for him as a creative person to just kind of like stay inside, and his mind started to kind of lose it a little bit. And so he ended up passing away. I'm not really sure, like it's kind of, the details are kind of sketchy about it, but he died of like smoke inhalation at a house in Connecticut. And there was a fire and he couldn't get out of a room, or he was trapped in a room, or he was locked in a room. I'd heard some things that he was trying to do the same thing in like Park City, Utah that he did in Las Vegas. But he just kind of, his mind couldn't handle the pandemic and all these different things. And he's a billionaire. So there's a lot of yes men around him and yes people around him. And they weren't really being creative anymore. They were just kind of mooching off of him. And so anyway, if you are ever interested in anything, it's Tony Hsieh, but it's spelled S-H-E-I-H, and he's the founder of Zappos. So you can just type in Zappos founder and Google and see more about it. But I just thought it was a terrible tragedy because he seemed like he was he'd done so much, and it seemed like his life just went, he's quit, and then he was dead by November. And I just thought, wow. And there's like just a bunch of mystery around it. And you're just like, boy, it just makes me remind ourselves that during the pandemic, like, nobody's immune. You have to kind of keep your mental balance. And as you're trying to push like your standards and everything to all the students, just remember, maybe just even like social stuff is good. There are a lot of times I have my Zoom chats, and kids will just stay on with me, and they're like, oh, I just want to talk. They just want to talk to an extra adult.
Yeah.
Right. And they've never seen me in person. So I don't know. So anyway, I just thought that was an interesting one. I didn't know if you'd ever heard of Tony Hsieh, though, from Zappos.
I mean, John, I've heard of Tony Hsieh, but I didn't know anything about this part of the story until you shared it with me. And so I do find it interesting, and I do think we can make a connection as classroom teachers and for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things is, you know, you get on the airplane, you got to put the air mask on yourself first before you put it on the kids.
Yeah.
So if you're not taking care of yourself through all this process, and, you know, I think, you know, there's been a lot of news about hopeful things coming and the potential for vaccines to be shared out. And, you know, in Orange County, teachers were put on the list of phase two group to get vaccines and things like that. So I think it's, you know, there's still some time to go, but I think, you know, to remember that, like you're saying, that kids are missing that social aspect so much. And, you know, I know for us and our family, we've probably a lot more like FaceTiming while gaming go on than ever before, only because that's the social time. And that's,
right.
And we don't get the face-to-face as much as we used to. And so to not see those friends, you know, my teaching partner and I, she's back traditional. So she's full-time with the kids in class. And we got our class together online for Zoom. And the kids were like flipping out, getting to see their friends that they hadn't seen at school, because they were either at school in the traditional model or virtual model or hybrid model, or they were at home in the virtual model. So they didn't get to interact with some of those other kids that they had in class for the last couple of years. So There's a lot of those little elements that we could easily forget because we're so caught up in, we got to get them through the curriculum, but you know what? We got to get them healthy.
Yeah. It is interesting. Like, I always try and think about how I would be if this was me and I was like my kid's age, you know, just because I have, you know, four kids, and I just think, gosh, if I was 16 and I couldn't leave my house, like that was my main jam back when I was 16. I had a job. I left the house all the time. I didn't like to be at my house, you know, so I left my house. And if you told me now that I couldn't leave my house, I just wonder, you know, how things would have been and worked out for me. And, you know, anyway, so it's just not to,
I mean, that's the reason you go to school,
right?
And number one reason kids go to school, whether we like it or not, is for friends. They don't go there for us. They don't go there for learning. They learn while they're there, and right, they interact and have, if we build a relationship, take the time to build a relationship. Yeah. They want to work for us, but they really go to see and be with other kids and their friends. I mean, that's really, I mean, if you want to argue that with me, fine, but like, I really believe that's the number one reason kids like going to school is to see their friends.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think when I was in my senior year of high school, I would get up, and I think we were 7:30. Maybe I'd get to school or whatever, and get there a little bit before. I think our school started at 8, and it was nice. I used to have a teacher that would just let me sit in his, like, we had study halls or whatever, but he had his open period, the first period. So I would come in, stay in his room. He would play classical music, Mr. Weiberg, sit there, and I'd do like my work that I hadn't done the night before because I was working full time. And I would get out early for my last period. I'd go over and I'd work at the pharmacy from 2:30 until 10:30. And then I would go home, basically sleep, and then get up and go do it all over again. Like, I had so much. That was 1987, 88. Subways were brand new back then. Subway was like my home cooking, because I would go to Subway every single day. Subway, eat fresh. Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Yeah, John, I mean, I could show you the same spot we met every morning and we'd all get there early, and we'd go over to like the food services and buy these warm little Hostess crumb donuts, these little small ones in a, like a little package, mm-hmm. and we'd kick back and we just, you know, it's almost like that was kind of like the release from having whatever stresses outside of, mm-hmm. of, you know, seeing our friends and not being able to communicate like they can today. It's like almost over communication today, but you know, I mean, and then same with you, John, you know, at those times you end up going to work right after school. You know, if you can get a job, you go to work right after school. I was a yogurt server at a frozen yogurt place called Golden Spoon. Yeah.
Yeah. I was the back warehouse manager. Like I was like the night manager. Yeah. I was good at jobs back then, like jobs that were like I had when I was 16, 17. I was a hard worker. I don't know what happened to me. Oh, well, what you going to do? Anyway, Scott Bedley, always good hanging out with you, my friend.
Yeah.
Where can we hear from you besides the Bedley Brothers podcast?
Yeah, you can follow me or check me out on the Twitters. I don't tweet very much. And mostly right now, John, I'm just tweeting about baseball because it's the winter meetings.
That is okay. There. I think that's
good. But you can catch me on Scott Each. That's at Scott Each or at Scott Teach on the Twitters.
I like Scott Each better. And then one of the things that we are going to do is we will move this podcast slowly over to Anchor, which is one of our apps we talked about last week. So I will slowly be moving these episodes. I probably will start moving them over before we're done. But by the end of the year, we probably will quit uploading these to Podomatic. So if you're on the Podomatic, if you're still on the Podomatic, first of all, thank you. The Bedley Brothers is also on Podomatic, so we both thank you.
Yeah.
But we're done. We can't do it anymore. We can't keep paying that money for nothing. You know, it's all the...
It's been awesome to hear from the people that have tweeted us since starting back at this. So we appreciate that from those of you that are reaching out and saying hi and sharing some kind words. So
yeah. So anyway, all right, people, we'll see you next week. Remember to be safe, wash those hands, and we will catch you on the flip side.